Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for serious lacrosse players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. And now, here are your hosts, New England Lacrosse Journal's Kyle Devitt and Jack Piatelli.
Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. Alongside me, the man who survived a car crash, Jack Piatelli. Do you want to tell that story real quick before we get started?
Sure. If you're ever in Ithaca, New York, you don't want to drive downtown around 10 o'clock at night. It's very dark, a lot of lights. Some roads have stop signs, some don't. Some are one way, some aren't. I had a gentleman go through a red light, hit me. Didn't see him coming. All my airbags went off. It was a scary moment. Thank God for the airbags. But I'll tell you, I've never been in a car alone when the airbags went off. A little claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Had a tough time figuring out how I was going to get out of the car. I got out of the car, and I was okay. My car was in the middle of the road. It was a T, you know.
Yeah.
He was going, I was going north. He was going east. Bing, bang, boom. Everyone was okay, thank God. But now my car's totaled. And I have to find a new car, and it's possible to find a new car right now. But other than that, I'm doing great. Thank you. It's just great to be back. I'm just happy I made it back in the studio.
I'm just glad you're okay.
Thank you.
I really am. But I'm also glad we have a great guest today, Ryan Henry from New Hampton Prep. How are we doing, Coach?
I'm good. Thank you so much, guys, for giving this opportunity to be on a podcast. Never been on one before. I know I'm late to sort of the podcast wave, but I just started listening to more and more podcasts over the past year. So this is a great opportunity for me to not only connect with you guys, but kind of get into this world a little bit myself.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that you came to us because you're starting with the best. So just like I said before we started, doesn't change because we're on mic. We're not changing. We're having a lot of fun. So speaking of having a lot of fun, you guys are off to a great start, kind of the class of the Lakes region at the moment.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for those kind words. I think we definitely are off to a strong start. I think we've had some good, strong wins this year. I think, you know, beating Rivers early in the season and a couple of those other ISL schools gave us the confidence we needed kind of going into the middle portion of our season, where we had two important games, Lakes Region games, against Brewster and KUA. And, you know, fortunately enough for us, we were able to you know, win those two as well. So I think now the question becomes, you know, how do we manage this sort of end of the year stretch? You know, we're coming off of, like you mentioned last week, a tough loss to Exeter, which was a great lacrosse game to be a part of. Anyone that watched it, would probably agree with me. I mean, we were up by a couple, then they would go up by a couple, then it'd be tied for a while. Both teams played really hard. So it was a very fun lacrosse game to be a part of. I think the question now that, you know, I have with my guys, and we've been talking about this, is how are we going to manage our expectations and also keep our energy levels up? I think, you know, this is that time of the school year where kids are starting to go to prom, they're starting to see graduation in their crosshairs. And, you know, as a coach, one of the key things that you need to focus on, you know, away from the X's and O's and lacrosse pieces, is just making sure the kids are engaged and they're, you know, keeping their goal of, you know, having the best season as possible sort of in sight. You know, I think we have, with all the seniors we have this year and the guys that, you know, have been at New Hampton that, you know, had the previous 2 years taken away from them, I think that's going to be easy to do. But we're dealing with teenagers here, right? And, I guess, long story short, it's going to be a fun year for end of the year for us, because we get to play some serious competition that's going to really test sort of where we're at.
Coach, back in the 80s, 90s, maybe even the early 2000s, New Hampton Prep was known for its hockey. It was the biggest hockey factory, obviously produced a lot of great hockey players. And now it's become really stopping place for a number of players that want to take an extra year, because you offer a post-grad year and kids who want to get a good education, boarding school. Tell us a little about how things have evolved at New Hampton and where it's headed down the road, and a little bit about the program and the players you're able to play for your program.
Sure. Yeah. So I agree. And I would even go as far, Jack, to say, you know, back in 2006, 2007, when I was doing my own postgrad year at Kimball Union, you know, New Hampton lacrosse was not on the map. I remember when I was going through the interview process at New Hampton, I was trying to remember playing New Hampton in hockey and lacrosse, and I couldn't. I actually had to go back in the archives of KUA's website to figure out what the scores were. And you know, we kind of blew them out in both the sports. You know, so that was kind of eye-opening to me when, you know, fast forward, I guess it was probably close to 15 years when New Hampton was reaching out looking for a new head lacrosse coach. Seeing their history over the past 10 years or so, and how good they've been and really how good all their sports have been. I was really surprised and obviously, you know, pleasantly surprised when, you know, I saw just how strong the school had become athletically. So I think, you know, I think you're absolutely right. In the 90s, certainly in the 80s, that, you know, it was a very much a PG driven athletics program here. You know, and since then there have been, I believe, three headmaster changes. And about 15 years ago, I think the school really did an intense sort of rebranding. I think their focus changed significantly on being sort of an athletics factory with PGs that were kind of pushing the boat, or I should say driving the boat. And they really wanted to make more of a community out of it. And so they wanted to bring in younger kids. They wanted to invest in kids that would be here for more than just 1 year. And I think, you know, again, over these past 15 years, you've seen a transformation in the academic programming at New Hampton, with us adding an international baccalaureate program as well as an academic support department. You know, so you're seeing more and more kids come earlier in their high school career because of those attractions. And then obviously, from an athletics perspective, you know, our hockey programs, our, you know, basketball programs, which are historically our strongest sports, continued to stay good, but they got good based on not just taking PGs every year, but looking at bringing in freshmen, sophomore, juniors. And so that was very much a conscious decision on the school's part to invest in younger athletes, student athletes. And then about 10 years ago, the lacrosse program really took a big turn, and I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Simon, who's now up at Holderness School, you know, who was sort of the coach that, along with the headmaster, kind of put lacrosse on the map for New Hampton. You know, it was very obvious, you know, during Andrew Menke, the previous headmaster's time, that he wanted lacrosse to be a sport that not only was talented and competitive at New Hampton, but was a bit of a revenue generator as well. So they put some time and resources into it. Obviously, Coach Simon did a great job during his time at New Hampton building it up. And so that has kind of brought us to where we are right now. And, you know, I would say from a recruiting perspective, we are not a PG heavy school. Our basketball program still will take, you know, 4 to 5 PGs every year. But our hockey and lacrosse programs will have anyone from 1 to 3 PGs per year. And that's not a fixed number by any means. But what that is a result of is sort of a conscious decision as a school to build our community from the younger students up. So we really try to encourage kids to come as freshmen, sophomores. Certainly from a recruiting perspective this year, with all of our seniors graduating, we wanted to make sure that we weren't really focusing on bringing in all these PGs to replace seniors for next year, but, you know, take a few years to have some young kids come in, develop them over time, and really have them be invested in the community. So I think, you know, we're at a really healthy place in the school's history. I think if you look at the other sports outside of basketball, hockey, and lacrosse at New Hampton, they're all very competitive as well. You know, some of the sports have a little bit more, are a little bit more tertiary, I think is the right word to use, than hockey, basketball, and lacrosse at New Hampton. And what I mean by that is, you know, for example, our soccer program has a couple of really good soccer first kids, but, you know, the rest of their roster is really a lot of my guys, you know, and a lot of, you know, guys that play baseball as well, you know, for example. So anyway, long story short, I think, you know, the health of the school is great right now. I think our goal is to bring in young kids and have them be here for more than 2 years. Because our community is so important to us, and we just feel like the kids that come here for more than 1 year are going to really get the most out of this experience rather than the 1 year kids, you know.
Coach, you talked a little briefly about your strong senior class. At least 6 guys committed two of them to your alma mater, St. A's.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's kind of dive into a couple of those guys that I've personally seen play a bunch. You know, obviously Jimmy McCool is probably the one everyone wants to know about.
Sure.
I don't know if you want to tell the story of him playing indoor and being like the best indoor player on your team, but you know, have at it. Tell me about Jimmy McCool.
I think that indoor story is actually just a great summary of the type of athlete he is. So Jimmy, I'll back up a little bit briefly just to give a little background. Jimmy came as a true freshman 4 years ago. He was on the start, you know, he was a starting defensive back and wide receiver for the football team. He was on the varsity B hockey team. And as Coach Gorman, who's our head hockey coach, says, if he continued to play that sport, he probably would have been on varsity last year and this year, which is a testament to his athleticism because he doesn't play hockey outside of hockey season. And then obviously he was a starting goalie for us, one of two starting goalies for us in the spring. And then COVID came around, you know, and he decided to actually make a random change in the fall, you know, to soccer. And he stepped on the soccer field after not playing for, you know, many, many years. And he basically became the starting goalie right away because of his athleticism, you know, and that's, you know, obviously a testament to the type of athlete he is, but also the type of leader he is too. He was voted captain this year as a senior for his soccer team, you know, and again, that just, it's because he just loves to compete, right? And so fast forward now to this winter, you know, we played in a box league down in Bow, New Hampshire. And as you all know, a box goalie is very different than field goalie. So, you know, sometimes we have our field goalies play box goalie. Sometimes we actually have them play field just to work on their decision-making and sort of deceptiveness because, you know, there's a lot of that goes into a goaltender when, you know, he's trying to clear in the ball. So we're okay with our guys playing in the field in box, our goalie's playing in the field in box. And so Jimmy basically made the decision that he was going to be an offensive box player this winter. And I think he was probably one of our better box players. It's amazing how athletic the kid is. You know, I think there's actually some film of him from the box league of scoring a diving NLL style backhand lefty goal, which was really cool that came out. And, you know, obviously he made sure that I saw that and made sure I knew that if we ever needed a depth attackman that he could be called on if we wanted to put Diego in the net. But he's just a great athlete, a great competitor. And, you know, I think what Syracuse is getting next year, more than a talented goalie, is a kid that just absolutely loves to compete at anything. And he's going to do that every day next year. We've had a lot of conversations about, hey, it's not going to be one of those things where you're just going to walk into the Carrier Dome and be the guy right away. You're going to have to earn it. And he's really excited about that. You can see it in his eyes, which is really cool.
Yeah, I would go so far as to say he was definitely your team's leading scorer. I worked that league and he was whenever I got a New Hampton game to kind of coach and admin, I was like, ooh, this will be fun, you know? And the other thing too, is like, this is what I like about him, right? I've talked to people from Syracuse about what kind of player he is. He's a talker and he's funny. So like going to Syracuse, he's basically like Drake Porter 2.0, right?
Yeah.
Like he's going to fill that.
That's a good comparison. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to fill that for them. A couple of the other guys that we kind of briefly mentioned, St. A's commits, Chris Claflin and Brady Martin. A lot of mass guys on your team. You know, how challenging is it to recruit that far north to kids? I mean, listen, even Jimmy McCool's from West Roxbury, Mass. You got guys from Duxbury, Sudbury, you know, all these places. How challenging is that for you to get guys to kind of commit to going up north to play lacrosse for you?
Yeah, so I think, I think a couple of factors have come into play there. I think, you know, the guys that we have, such as Claflin, Brady Martin, and John Nagel, those guys are all PGs. So it's a little easier to get a kid to come for a PG year after their career at a Massachusetts, you know, school. So there's a little bit of, you know, it's a little easier in that way. But for some of the younger guys, you know, everyone has their own particular story. And, you know, I think some of the guys that we have that have left their home programs, you know, the reason may be because of an academic setting, right? New Hampton's small, class sizes, our IB program, our academic support program, you know, our student engagement from our faculty, that is a significant draw for individuals that need that academically. I mean, there's a lot of kids that, you know, walking into a public school setting don't really thrive if they're one of 30 or 35 kids in the classroom. And so, you know, if you get them to look at New Hampton and you reveal everything that we have to offer, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty obvious from a parent perspective what the advantages are to come here, right? So getting them to look is really more difficult than actually having them say yes, right? Obviously, the financial piece comes into play too, but you know that's true at all levels, prep school, college, whatever. You know, and so for our seniors, you know, again, our Massachusetts seniors, we're looking for prep school for a whole variety of reasons. As I just mentioned, some are PG, we're looking for PG. Some are looking for a better lacrosse experience. And some were looking for, you know, a better academic experience, you know, and they chose us. So that's obviously something we're really grateful for, you know. But the rest of our seniors, we have a lot of seniors from non-traditional areas. You know, Ethan Cobb, who's our leading scorer right now, is from North Carolina. You know, one of our other leading scorers, Maravik Lyon, who's actually our third St. Anselm commit. He's from Oregon. You know, we have, you know, a boy from Kennebunk, Maine. You know, so long story short, you know, we got guys from all over the place. And that's kind of what you need to do as a prep school recruiter is, you know, you're always going to have your core New England kids, of course, but you really got to get outside the box a little bit to find those kids in those non-traditional areas that, you know, want to have a better experience in high school.
Ryan, do you find when players contact you or parents contact you that boarding school is on their list, like, or do you find that boarding school is an option, but they're not quite sure about boarding school? And how do you sell boarding school versus the day school experience?
Yeah, so I read an interesting stat recently that 1% of all kids that are graduating from high school in the United States are graduating from boarding school settings, which is obviously a minuscule population, right? So recruiting to a prep school alone is difficult just because of that one stat, right? It's just not a lot of kids going to them, right? So usually when families reach out, they're reaching out for a very specific reason, whether it be an athletic reason. So a kid plays at a not so great public school and he wants a better athletics experience, or an academic reason, meaning they need extra, you know, attention, or they just want a smaller class size, or they're interested in their IB program or whatever that may be. You know, so that's usually the second reason that I see. And then the third reason would be because they want to reclass. All right. So you can't really reclass in the public school world. You know, and I don't know how many kids would want to do 5 years at a public school anyway. And so, you know, a lot of kids are thinking that they, you know, will do 2 or 3 years at a public school and then go to a school like New Hampton because they want, you know, they want to reclass because that's what a lot of kids are doing these days, you know, whether it be physically mature, you know, maturity wise or athletically or academically. There's a lot of reasons why kids reclass, but that's kind of the third reason why. So if someone's reaching out to me, it's either academically, athletically, or if they want to just reclass. But usually when I'm reaching out to individuals and sort of either cold calling, cold emailing, or just introducing myself, prep school is certainly not on their radar. And so the first hurdle as a prep school coach in those conversations is educating them on this world. You know, I'll give you a great example with Ethan Cobb. You know, he was a kid that was up in New England for a college recruiting event where I saw him play. And I introduced myself to him and his family and got connected to his parents. And they had never heard about prep school at all. But once they sort of, as I mentioned earlier, saw everything that New Hampton had to offer, they realized this would be a really good fit for him. And it's been a great experience. And so, you know, when those experiences happen, what I try to do is I try to connect those families with the kids and the parents that I'm you know, doing the next wave of recruiting for. And I found that to be really successful because, you know, those are experiences and examples of kids really being successful in this environment. And I think, you know, whenever you can kind of reveal that through, you know, personal stories, that's, you know, that's way more important than me kind of giving a sales pitch, you know.
How has the pandemic changed how you've gotten after filling out your roster? I don't want to say recruiting because I feel like people take that the wrong way. But how has that affected your process, and what changes did you make, and which ones did you get rid of when, you know, school resumed, and which ones have you held on to?
I think Zoom has been a tool that has been really, really advantageous for me. So I'm a full-time teacher at New Hampton. I coach JV hockey here. I work in the dorm. I have a almost 1-year-old son. He's one on Thursday. And so I'm a pretty busy guy during the academic day. And, you know, leading up to the pandemic, when families would come visit, whether I was, you know, inviting them to campus or the admissions office invited them, or they were just coming on their own, it was chaos to, you know, have 3 classes and squeeze in a quick meeting with a family and then go to lunch and then, you know, go back to class, right? It was really difficult to do that. And I felt like I wasn't getting enough time with families. And I felt like they weren't getting to know me in our program. So when the pandemic hit, and I learned really how to use Zoom, what we've done as an admissions office at New Hampton is, you know, if I have the time to meet with you in person on campus, you know, maybe I have a free block during the time that you're going to be here, then yeah, I'll go see you and have that conversation with you in person. But if not, what I try to do is have a Zoom call with the family either the night before or that night or whenever it may be. And that gives us really all the time in the world to connect, to for them to ask questions, for me to ask questions, and really for, you know, them to get a good understanding of what we offer here as a lacrosse program. So I think Zoom has been something that is here to stay for me, at least. You know, and I just think it's made things more efficient, you know.
New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal will return after this message.
The Men's Lacrosse Championships, where speed and power meets precision and creativity. And they give it everything they got, from face-off to the final whistle. Go big for every goal. Go beyond your limits and enter the NCAA universe. The Men's Lacrosse Championships, May 28th through 30th at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, Connecticut. Get your seats today at ncaa.com/mlacrosse.
Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
Coach, we've talked about this a number of times, and you mentioned post-grad versus, you know, getting the younger players to attend the schools, freshman and sophomore. And I'm approached by parents and players all the time. You know, should I go to New Hampton and repeat my junior year, or should I wait and post-grad my senior year? Just talk about the advantages of repeating your junior year and the differences between the two. Obviously, cost is one. It's more difficult to get in as a post-grad because you don't have as many slots for postgraduates. I always found that the players that did repeat their junior year attending the school 2 years obviously would get more out of the education, get to know their teammates, classmates, and have an overall better experience. And by the time the postgrad first year ends, you're just sort of getting up to speed in terms of the academic and the athletic portion. 2 years costs more money, but what has your experience been, and what would you say to parents who are looking to reclassify versus someone who wants to post-grad?
Yeah, I think you just kind of hit the nail on the head, Jack. I think nearly every PG I've ever coached, you know, but towards the end of their season or midway through the season, they're just starting to really figure it out at the level we're playing at, right? And so if you can imagine doing that your junior year and then coming back and having an entire year where you feel comfortable and you know, you understand the compete level, you know, your ceiling is just going to rise and rise and rise. Right. And a great example, actually, you know, Jack, I know you know this family. A great example is a kid that came to us last year, who's one of our captains this year, is Jake Connors. So Jake came as a repeat junior last year, and he was a really good player for us. Don't get me wrong. You know, but this year, just the level of confidence he's playing with and his IQ and his deceptiveness offensively, his skill set has really gone through the roof. And, you know, I think that that's a testament to having all the time that he's had with us, being surrounded by, you know, players that are like-minded as him, and being in this environment that's just more competitive than what his public school was going to give him. You know, so I think the advantages to coming earlier than a PG year are, I mean, they're overwhelming, to be honest with you, if your family can make it work. I think academically, you're going to learn time management quicker, and you're going to be able to thrive. And, you know, by the end of your first year at New Hampton, you're going to be a way better student than you were after 2 years of public school. I think socially, you're going to grow a significant amount. I mean, living away from home is, you know, it's a big adjustment for kids. And I think having that experience for more than 1 year before you go off to college, you know, is just going to make you that much more mature before you get there, which, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, if I think about my experience as a freshman in college and just all the silly stuff that I saw kids do and the immaturity, you know, I just think back of how grateful I was to have had at least my 1 year before I went off to college, because I just felt like I was more prepared for it and just more mature. And then again, going back to the athletics piece, you know, when you get 2 years of playing at the level we're at, you know, which is very close to a college level in many ways. I mean, when you play a tough game in the Lakes region or in the NEPSAC, it's very close to a, you know, Division III level game. And so when you have those experiences, you're just going to be so much more confident when you walk onto the field as a freshman for your first fall ball practice. So I think confidence alone is a factor that, you know, you got to consider when either doing a prep year, one prep year or a repeat junior year. I mean, the confidence is going to be through the roof when you do 2, 3, 4 years at a prep school versus just one. The financial piece is obviously an important one too. And I think every prep school manages their finances different. For us as a school that, you know, doesn't really want to have a full catalog of PGs on campus, we tend to want to fund the younger kids more than the older kids. So, you know, that's an advantage to coming early too.
I'd like to talk about Jake Connors. He's a perfect example of a player who really understands the process and working hard every day, working on his skills, developing his skills, controlling what he was able to control, and that's, you know, working hard in the classroom, working hard in the field, off the field. And we always say in our business that it's a process, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And where he was as a freshman and where he is now as a player, as a person, as a student, it's really, he's the perfect example of, you know, just stick with your plan and everything will work out and everything is going to fall into place. If you control what you can control, you know, work hard in the classroom, work hard in the field, be a good teammate. He's become a captain and he's become a very good lacrosse player.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. He's a textbook example of how, you know, doing more than 1 year at a prep school can really help you. And, you know, he's just really thrived at New Hampton in every aspect, not just lacrosse, but in every aspect of school. And you're right. I mean, he was pretty rattled at the end of at the beginning of the summer, was really nervous about the recruiting process, you know, really wanted to, you know, go to a high level academic athletic institution, but wasn't, you know, didn't really have the looks just yet. And, you know, we get, I mean, I know Jack, you were saying the same thing to him. I know we had conversations about it, but, you know, it was one of those instances where, you know, you really needed the kid to understand that he just had to wait and keep working hard, you know, because the NESCACs weren't going to be reaching out really until July. And sure enough, you know, a few of them reached out and, you know, now he's going off to Trinity. And I think he's just, I think it was hard for him last summer for sure. I think it was easier, you know, going into last year and last spring, you know, but he stayed the course, as you said, and, you know, he found a great home in Trinity. I think he's going to do, I think Trinity not only is going to be a fit for him academically, because he is a really bright young man and is very, you know, book smart and is good in the classroom, but I think he's going to have an opportunity because of the 2 years he's had at New Hampton and how much he's developed. I think he's going to be able to contribute for those guys pretty early in his career there. So that's another thing that
I have to interrupt because I agree. I have to interrupt because I got to give a shout out to our producer who was very excited to hear that Jay Connors is going to Trinity because our producer Saf is a graduate of Trinity. We don't get to give him a shout out very often, but
you should tell him that two other kids on New Hampton are going to Trinity too.
Yeah.
Go Bears.
So we actually have we have 15 seniors this year. 11 of them are going off to play college lacrosse, 4 to Trinity, actually, 3 to St. Anselm, 1 to Colby, 1 to Syracuse, 1 to Muhlenberg, 1 to Oberlin. And then we had 2 boys that are going to go on and play, junior hockey. And then 2 boys that are just going to, pursue academic careers in college. So big senior class, to say the least, but 4 to Trinity. So it's a good day to be a Bantam if you're talking to New Hampton.
You know, the only problem I have with that is there's no one going to Clark and there's no one going to Springfield, right, Jack?
Yeah, you know.
It's tough.
You know, I'll tell you what.
I think those days have passed.
Well, Clark, a funny connection that New Hampton has to Clark, Connor Gorman, who's one of our assistant lacrosse coaches here at New Hampton. He's the head hockey coach at New Hampton. He went to New Hampton, played hockey and lacrosse at SUNY Plattsburgh. His brother is a coach at Clark right now, a lacrosse coach at Clark. And so we've been trying to get a kid there over the past few years. Maverick Lyon was actually looking there for a little bit, and you know, my alma mater St. A's swooped in and grabbed him. So unfortunately no Clark this year.
Well, this past weekend, we were actually going to do the podcast out at Springfield College because Clark played Springfield, but we really wouldn't have a lot to talk about because Springfield scored 26 goals. And
oh, gosh.
You know, Clark I don't know. What did Clark score?
It's a down year.
What did Clark score? Yeah. 9 goals?
It was 9.
Yes, they didn't even go to get the double figures.
I'm staying unbiased in this. I'm staying neutral in this conversation.
I walked right into it. It's totally my fault.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
I knew better. I thought you were going to come in and open with that, but then you hit me mid-podcast. And
I had it in my notes. I had it right in my notes.
I'm completely unprepared for that to respond, other than it's a down year. It's fine. One of the things I'm always curious about for the prep guys, is your relationship different with club teams than it might be for a public school coach. Like, I coach JV, and I'm a varsity assistant at a public school in New Hampshire. I feel like my interaction with club coaches is going to be a lot different than yours.
Yeah, you know, I think, my relation, the way I look at my relationship with club coaches is it's sort of a collaboration between us, almost a partnership, right? So, for example, if there's a boy that plays for a strong club that I know is going to already be working to place him in college, then, I'm just going to be in touch with that club director or that recruiting coordinator and just try to make sure that the line of communication between he and I is very clear and open. And, when I talk to college coaches, I let them know and vice versa, And so from a college recruiting perspective, it's pretty much, I look at it as a partnership. One thing that I really push club coaches to consider when I talk to them is, if it's a college coach that I haven't already talked to as well, I try to get connected to that college coach because I like to speak about my players through the lens of, how they are as community members. Because I mentioned before, I'm a math teacher. I work in the dorm. I coach hockey. I'm an advisor. And so some of these kids I see in a lot of different lights, all of them I see in a lot of different lights. So I can speak to how this kid's going to handle himself around a community. How is he going to handle himself inside of a cafeteria or in the dormitory at night or, hanging out with faculty children, right? And I think what I've found in all my years of coaching prep school kids is when I talk to college coaches about those sort of qualities of a player, they kind of light up a little bit, And so, I think, I really try to encourage club coaches to, keep me in the loop with the colleges, which they do a great job of too. I think the only thing that I have to be aware of is when we get a kid that comes to New Hampton and he asks me about what club he, should be playing for, I got to make sure that, he's staying loyal to his club team that he's in, and if he needs to make a change for whatever reason, for travel purposes or whatever, I really try to manage that conversation between the family and the club team because I know that, they work hard to get these kids developed too. And they hate to see kids leave their clubs to go to another club. So I really try to stay away from that with my players. I try to, help them manage their experiences within their clubs without having to leave and go from one club to the other. But, it happens. But I'm not, I coach for the Tomahawks. I'm not going to recruit a kid that plays for, 3D New England and say, hey, all right, if you come to New Hampton, you're going to have to play for the Tomahawks. It's the opposite of that, very much so.
So one of the stories I wrote recently, it's the cover story for the latest issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, was on the Lakes region. Part of that is, my connection that I forged over the winter with a lot of, Lakes region coaches in that box league. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm an alum. You can say it if you PG'd. I PG'd at Tilton, so I'm an alum, yep. So I have a little bit of affinity there and familiarity. Mm-hmm. One of the things that stuck out to me as I was writing it is that there's so many young and promising coaches in the league. Sure. I mean, you've worked with Nick Bell, who's at KUA now, mm-hmm. and you're at New Hampton, and Justin Simon's at Holderness, but he used to be at New Hampton. Like that, even that like power trio right there is a lot of great coaching power. How do you turn that into kind of what it's already becoming, which is, Lakes Region's becoming a destination for lacrosse players?
Yeah, I think, I think a lot of us have really strong backgrounds in coaching and have had great mentors in our early coaching years. Nick Antall at KUA, was at Portsmouth Abbey for a long time, obviously played at Notre Dame. So he was on, he's had experience with really good coaching. Justin Simon had experience, working at Holderness for a year. I know that he was there for a year, I believe, before he came to New Hampton and had good mentorship here. And myself being under Nick Bell, who's at Taft School now, during my time at Trinity Pauling, I think that's important. I think, Zach over at Proctor, the new Proctor coach, he was actually at Taft for a year under Nick Bell. So he's had good mentorship. And so, you know, I think, you know, when it comes down to, you know, the league getting better, it's going to really come down to, you know, us just staying hungry as coaches. And, you know, I think, you know, the younger coaches in the league, you know, are just more motivated right now, you know, and I think we do have a little bit of a chip on our shoulder because we're in the Lakes region. And we are all sort of in it together to want to make the Lakes region better. And, you know, it's kind of funny when we talk to each other about non-Lakes region opponents, you know, it's almost like we're kind of hurrahing each other. It's pretty cool because, you know, like, you know, if Justin calls me about a team or if I call Nick about a team or whatever it may be, you know, we'll really go in all in for each other to at least have the best scouting report we can on the opposing team that we're going to play so that, you know, hey, it looks great when a Lakes region team beats an ISL team or beats Andover or an Exeter or whatever it may be. So I think us staying motivated and continuing to get out there and recruit. And I think the more we do that, the more people are going to hear the name, you know, the names of the Lakes region schools. And, you know, I think the more prominent we're going to become, certainly in New England, you know, and if a family is going to want a small academic setting with strong academic support and IB programming, they're going to come to New Hampton and not go to a St. Sebastian's, kind of like Jimmy McCool. Or, you know, if they're big into the outdoors and want that sort of environmental experience, learning experience, they're going to go to Proctor instead of going to, you know, BB&N or whatever it may be. If they're big into the snow sports, you know, they'll go up to Holderness instead of going to, you know, a Thayer Academy or something like that. And so I think the more that we are out there telling the story of the Lakes region, I think obviously, Kyle, you writing the story of the Lakes region in the article was a huge step forward for us. I think just kind of getting the word out there more and more and more to these New England kids is going to continue to make our program stronger and as a whole, the league stronger.
Hey, Coach, thanks for joining us today. It was a pleasure. Best of luck the rest of the way with your season. And I'm sure we'll see you this summer at a tournament or two.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for having me on. All right, appreciate the support of the Lakes region. It means a lot.
Well, we are going to have to bring it to a close there. Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piatelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. Thanks again to our wonderful producer, Trinity alum Steve Safran, for his efforts. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @NELaxJournal, Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.